It's December the 25th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Merry Christmas to one and all. In the year 1650, Henry Vaughan wrote these words, "Awake, glad heart, get up and sing. It is the birthday of thy King." And so it is. We join today with Christians around the world and Christians across the generations on this day, celebrating the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about my growing up days in a town in Alabama, Russellville, Alabama, where I and my three brothers, we grew up in that wonderful town. And one of my best buddies growing up was Tom Thompson. And we would hang out together. I'd go to his house, he'd come to mine. And on Christmas morning, one of our little traditions we had for a number of years was on Christmas, say about 9 o'clock in the morning or 9:30 in the morning, I would call him or he would call me and I would ask Tom or he would ask me, "What did you get for Christmas?" Because, you know, that's it. We talk about the games or the puzzles. I mean, back in the 1960s, that was decades before Nintendo and Xbox and PlayStation and all the stuff that the kids have now. But Christmas, in a small town in Alabama, that was a great, great day. So wherever you are, Merry Christmas. And this is it for us. We have come to the end of the Old Testament today. The only announcement I want to make is we're not done yet. After today, we're finished with the Old Testament. But tomorrow, we're going to read the book of Revelation. We're going to start. And just remember, I've been telling you this all month long, that starting tomorrow and through the end of the year, we're going to do it live from 7 a.m. Central Time from my office here in our home in Shawnee, Kansas. Tomorrow morning, we're going to read Revelation 1 through 4 and then 5 through 8 the next day and 9 through 13, 14 through 18, 19 and 20. And on Sunday, December the 31st, we're going to read together the last two chapters of the Word of God, Revelation 21 and 22. So whatever you're doing, now remember, I've told you all month long, it's going to be posted on Rumble and Facebook and YouTube and the Keep Believing website. And it'll also be on LinkedIn and be on Twitter. But come on, folks, we're going to do it live. I want you with me as we read God's Word together live the next 6 days. So today, the final book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the last word of the Old Testament. We date this book about 400 BC. We know nothing really about Malachi, except we know this. He knew Jerusalem. He was well acquainted with the worship in the rebuilt temple. So now the temple has been rebuilt, and this is after the days of Nehemiah. So the walls have been built around the city, and some semblance of normality has returned to Jerusalem. It's nothing. Jerusalem is a shadow of what it was, and the temple is just a small thing at this point compared to what it was in Solomon's day. And we'd be surprised when I tell you that in that day, the people had once again become complacent. They had become sluggish. Divorce was rampant. The religion was cheap. They doubted God's love. They said, "We're back home. We've rebuilt the temple. The walls are up. Where is God now?" They felt in some degree they had done their part. And where is God? Has he forgotten them? And the message of Malachi is, the King is coming. It's going to come in three parts in these four chapters. God's love, chapter 1. God's judgment, chapters 2 and 3. God's promise, chapter 4. You got that? God's love, God's judgment, and his promise. Now, I'm going to read Malachi. There's a Christmas passage. There's a Christmas promise here. I'm going to see if you can get it as I'm reading it through. Lord, for the final time, as we read the Old Testament, your word to us on this happy Christmas day. Lord, make your word real and powerful to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi 1. A pronouncement, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you ask, how have you loved us? Wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? This is the Lord's declaration. Even so, I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. I turned his mountains into a wasteland and gave his inheritance to the desert jackals. Though Edom says, we have been devastated, but we will rebuild the ruins. The Lord of armies says this, they may build, but I will demolish. They will be called a wicked country, and the people the Lord has cursed forever. Your own eyes will see this, and you yourselves will say, the Lord is great, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. But if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is your fear of me? Says the Lord of armies to you, priests, who despise my name. Yet you ask, how have we despised your name? By presenting defiled food on my altar. How have we defiled you, you ask, when you say the Lord's table is contemptible? When you present a blind animal for sacrifice, is it not wrong? And when you present a lame or sick animal, is it not wrong? Bring it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you or show you favor? Ask the Lord of armies. And now, plead for God's favor. Will he be gracious to us? Since this has come from your hands, will he show you any favor? Ask the Lord of armies. I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would no longer kindle a useless fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of armies, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Incense and pure offerings will be presented in my name at every place, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of armies. But you are profaning it when you say, the Lord's table is defiled and its product, its food is contemptible. You also say, look, what a nuisance, and you scorn it, says the Lord of armies. You bring stolen, lame, or sick animals. You bring this as an offering. Am I to accept that from your hands? Ask the Lord. The deceiver is cursed, who has an acceptable male in his flock and makes a vow but sacrifices a defective animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of armies, and my name will be feared among the nations. That last part there. You think you got his flocks and you've got an animal that's perfectly healthy and you want to keep it and sell it, but you've got a defective animal that's lame or sick or somehow got a blemish on it. You're going to bring the blemished animal and sacrifice to God and think that's okay? Doesn't work that way. Chapter 2, God's judgment. Therefore, the decree is for you priests, if you don't listen to it, and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name, says the Lord of armies, I will send a curse among you, and I will curse your blessings. In fact, I have already begun to curse them because you are not taking it to heart. Look, I'm going to rebuke your descendants, and I will spread animal waste over your faces, the waste from your festival sacrifices, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I sent you this decree so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of armies. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave these to him and called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and integrity, and turned many from iniquity. From the lips of a priest should guard knowledge. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should desire instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of armies. You, on the other hand, have turned from the way. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have violated the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of armies. So I, in turn, have made you despised and humiliated before all the people, because you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in your instruction. Though all of us have one Father, didn't one God create us? Why then do we act treacherously against one another, profaning the covenant of our ancestors? Judah has acted treacherously, and a detestable act has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's sanctuary, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, whoever he may be, even if he presents an offering to the Lord of armies. This is another thing you do. You are covering the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer respects your offerings, receives them gladly from your hands. And you ask why? Because even though the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, you have acted treacherously against her. She was your marriage partner and your wife by covenant. Didn't God make them one and give them a portion of spirit? What is the one seeking? Godly offspring. So watch yourselves carefully so that no one acts treacherously against the wife of his youth. If he hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, he covers his garment with injustice, says the Lord of armies. Therefore, watch yourself carefully and do not act treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, and yet you ask, how have we wearied him? When you say, everyone who does what is evil is good in the Lord's sight, and he is delighted with them, or else, where is the God of justice? Malachi 3. See, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you delight in. See, he is coming, says the Lord of armies. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who will be able to stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's bleach. He will be like a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord as in days of old and years gone by. I will come to you in judgment, and I will be ready to witness against sorcerers and adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker, the widow, and the fatherless, and against those who deny justice to the resident alien. They do not fear me, says the Lord of armies, because I, the Lord, have not changed. You, descendants of Jacob, have not been destroyed. Since the days of your ancestors, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. Yet you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How do we rob you, you ask? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of armies. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. Your words against me are harsh, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What have we gained by keeping his requirements and walking mournfully before the Lord of armies? So, now we consider the arrogant to be fortunate. Not only do those who commit wickedness prosper, they even test God and escape. At that time, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord took notice and listened. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and had high regard for his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of armies, my own possession on the day I am preparing. I will have compassion on them as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. So you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Malachi 4, the last chapter of the Old Testament. God's love, God's judgment. Now, the Old Testament ends with a promise. For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wing, in its wings, and you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. Remember the instruction of Moses, my servant, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Look, I am going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Did you get it? Boy, there's a lot of prophecy. I mean, there's in just four chapters, there's some serious words, and it seems like on Christmas Day, we wonder, is there good news here? Chapter 3, see, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. What was his name? He was that fella eating the locusts and honey and dressed in that burlap stuff, that itchy stuff. What was John the Baptist? John the Baptist. Before the great day of the Lord comes, he's going to clear the way. That's John the Baptist. And then chapter 4, but for you, verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. That's Jesus. Here in the very closing chapter of the Old Testament, God says, I'm going to send one who will be the Son of Righteousness. When he comes, he will rise as the sun rises in the sky. When he comes, he will banish the darkness. When he comes, like the sun rising in the morning, his light will fill the world. But his coming does more than bring light into the darkness. When he comes, he brings the light of God's righteousness with him. So the Old Testament ends with good news for every weary sinner who feels the heavy weight of failure. In the final Old Testament picture of Christ, we meet a Savior who does for us what we could never do for ourselves at Bethlehem. A baby arrived from heaven with healing in his wings. So then, here is the good news of Christmas. Jesus came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Got any sinners out there on this Christmas morning? Are you a sinner? He came for you. Is your heart heavy today? He rises with healing in his wings. Merry Christmas, my friends. Jesus is God's gift to you. And you may wonder about this. Well, in one of the greatest of all the Christmas carols, one I've quoted before in the last few days, Charles Wesley, here's a verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which we don't sing very often, but it's from this passage. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the new-born King. Did you know? Every time you sing, Hark the herald angels sing, and you sing that verse, remember, it comes from the last chapter of the Old Testament. So, we finish our journey through the Old Testament looking forward to the coming of the King, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. Go out. Have a great day. Enjoy this day with family and friends. And let us give thanks to the Lord Jesus, God's gift. He is risen with healing in his wings. Glory to his name, now and forever. Merry, merry, merry Christmas to you and to your family, wherever you may be. God bless you, friends. Come back tomorrow, December 26th, Book of Revelation, 7 a.m. Central Time. See you right here. God bless. Have a great day, friends. See you back here tomorrow morning.